Our travels today will take us to the city of Rishon LeZion, a modern city 30 minutes from Tel Aviv and approximately 60 minutes from Jerusalem. Its name, First to Zion, derives from the biblical verse in Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 27, and is appropriately so named as it was one of the first settlements in Israel. We'll spend several hours in the area. The history of Rishon LeZion is closely tied to the beginning of the Zionist enterprise in Palestine. In fact, the two most important symbols of nationality, the flag and national anthem, later formally adopted by the State of Israel, have their foundations in Rishon. A visit to Rishon LeZion's open-air museum and a stroll down Pioneer's Way toward the Carmel Winery is a wonderful way to learn about the hardships and achievements of one of Israel's first group of settlers. The municipality has done an excellent job of providing the visitor with a glimpse into the past by authentically renovating many of the founders' homes, commercial enterprises, and public buildings, making this visit an interesting and educational experience for all family members. However, when additional funding becomes available, many more historical homes require renovation. The intersection of Ahada Am and Rothschild Street is known as Founders Square, and the synagogue was one of the first buildings to be erected, together with those that now make up the museum complex. As Turkish law forbade the building of a synagogue, the founders declared that the structure was to be a warehouse. Using this ruse, and perhaps gifts of persuasion, the warehouse later evolved into the synagogue as we view it today. In 1882, the area was quite barren, covered with brush, thorns, and rocks, as well as being devoid of water. Nevertheless, a group of 17 enterprising families from Eastern Europe purchased 850 acres of land in an effort to fulfill their dream of resettling the land of Israel. These settlers were part of the initial wave of new immigrants to Palestine, known as the First Aliyah. Many brought with them personal experiences of the pogroms ravishing the Jewish communities of Eastern Europe. However, many also carried with them a fervent nationalistic feeling, having been exposed to earliest Zionist writers who espoused not only returning to the land of Zion, but actually working the land through the establishment of agricultural settlements. Realizing that without water their dreams would be shattered, the settlers immediately sent one of the founders, Joseph Feinberg, to meet with Baron de Rothschild in France to appeal for financial assistance in the drilling of a well. Rothschild provided an anonymous loan, and the success of the new well is today immortalized in the seal of the municipality. The well, its pumping equipment, and the adjacent water tower with its red shingled roof, ornate columns, and sandstone foundation can be visited toward the end of the walking tour. After stopping to admire the synagogue, cross the street to the entrance of the museum. The museum can be contacted by calling 03-968-2435. These buildings previously housed the pharmacy, the public health clinic, and the post office. Today, the buildings house a host of early photographs, maps, and other historical items. Perhaps the most interesting display is that of the first flag of Israel, and the story behind it. To celebrate the third anniversary of the founding of the community, a banner was to be carried in a parade by a representative of Baron de Rothschild. Two members of the community chose the tallit, prayer shawl, of one of the founders, Zev Abramovich, and sewed thereon a blue Star of David. They now had their banner. This very design of the Star of David, with two bars from a tallit, was later adopted as the flag of Israel. Equally fascinating is the story of the first singing of the national anthem by the school children of Rishon LeZion. The poem Hatikva, The Hope, was written by Naftali Hertz Imber during his stay in Rishon and was edited by members of the community. However, it was a local farmer, Shmuel Cohen, who adapted its words to the tune of Smetna's Moldau. The words and tune grew in popularity and became a worldwide symbol for the Jews yearning to return to Zion, even many years before its formal adoption as the national anthem of the State of Israel. On the other side of the courtyard, you can descend into the cellar of the pharmacy to view a reproduction of the first Hebrew school in Israel, where Hebrew was taught not as a language of religion, but rather as a tool for everyday life. In the rooms above, you can view excellent recreations of village artisans at work, and nearby a display of fashions of the time. As you exit the buildings into the farmyard and stable of the Shalit family, note the reproduction of the American type of covered wagon, which was used in the late 1800s as a stagecoach to shuttle residents of Rishon back and forth to Jaffa. The inside of the Shalit house has been beautifully restored by the descendants of the original family and outfitted in period furniture. As you depart the museum complex at Ahada Am Street, note on your right the shuttered London Hotel, which was built in 1891 as a private residence by the Gordon family. At the turn of the last century, its rear farmyard housed Israel's first ostrich farm. The building across the street at 17 Ahada Am is regarded as Israel's first Hebrew school. Starting at the old village bell on Rothschild Street, you can continue your walk down Pioneer's Way toward the Heisman House. This two-storied home, which is constructed of sandstone, is typical of the Eastern European style of building, which was so familiar to Heisman and the other early founders. It is also there that Imber, the author of the poem Hatikva, lived during his time in Rishon. At number 7 Rothschild Street, the Kanner House is unique for its colonial-style design, with a wide sloping shingled roof, support columns, and iron grillwork around the terrace. In the years before the establishment of the state, the Haganah used the home as a local headquarters and arms catch. Further down the street, at the corner of Molever, the dilapidated white house served as the home and office of Rothschild's chief administrator. Some of the baron's other administrators resided at 24 Rothschild Street, which has served as Rishon's city hall since the 1920s. The beautifully restored community hall on Zadel Street was built in gratitude for the baron's assistance and generosity, and has been the central social and meeting place of the village ever since. It is also there that the country's first orchestra took residence in 1895. As you enter the park, take note of the water tower and well, which merits a tour. The majestic avenue of the palms in front of you has been the site of receptions for Theodore Herzl, Lord Balfour, Winston Churchill, and other dignitaries. However, the area was originally a garden plot, an agricultural research station, and even an orange grove, before evolving into the municipal park. As you stroll down the path toward the Carmel Winery, note how well the recently built administration buildings blend with the park and its surroundings. On the other side of the park, the large brick buildings with their red shingled roofs and large dark cellars were built by Baron de Rothschild in 1888 and soon evolved into one of the largest and most successful wineries in the world. In fact, the winery became very self-sufficient, housing its own barrel and pump workshop, a flour mill, a blacksmith, an ice factory, and a distillery. If you have never had the opportunity to visit an older and larger winery, a tour of the premises would certainly be worthwhile. The winery can be contacted at 03-948-8888. As you make your way down HaKarmel Street toward the corner of Achada'am Street, you won't want to miss what was built as Rishon's most beautiful building, the Rothschild Administration Center. The complex of buildings and gardens, which also contains a memorial to Rishon's fallen soldiers, has been painstakingly restored and is beautifully maintained. From there, it should be a short walk back to your car. Others have replicated the resourcefulness and sense of ingenuity demonstrated by the first settlers of Rishon LeZion before and after the establishment of the State of Israel. A case in point is the clandestine bullet manufacturing operation known as the Ayalon Institute that was established at Kibbutzim Hill in nearby Rehovot. During the mid-1940s, self-sufficiency in the manufacture of weaponry and ammunition became an urgent matter for the leadership of the Jewish community in Palestine. Continuing conflict with the Arabs and the prospect of a British withdrawal from its mandate in Palestine led to the local development of the Sten submachine gun and the acquisition of surplus bullet manufacturing equipment in post-war Europe. The equipment was smuggled into Palestine via Beirut with the assistance of a friendly British intelligence officer. But the question then became where manufacturing was to take place. The solution was found at Kibbutzim Hill, an established kibbutz near the end of Rehovot, whose earthen mound would make an excellent hiding place for a clandestine bullet manufacturing operation. Within a span of 22 days, a rectangular underground cellar was established, into which the newly acquired machinery was placed. At one end, a building containing washing machines to muffle the sound of the underground equipment was established, while at the other end, a bakery was built, whose immense oven could pivot on the floor to permit access into the cellar. Recent immigrants to Palestine from Germany and Austria, as well as members of youth groups, were recruited to work underground in secrecy, while others worked the fields of the kibbutz above. Copper for use in the manufacture of the casings was imported into Palestine under the ruse that it was supposed to be used for the production of lipstick tubes. Thus, from 1946 to 1948, 2.5 million bullets were manufactured at the Ayalon Institute, and at times as many as 40,000 bullets a day were smuggled out under the cover of darkness into the field of battle. David Ben-Gurion has said that the efforts of these young members of the Haganah contributed greatly to the success of many military operations and the ultimate establishment of the State of Israel. Thereafter, many of these young people went on to found Kibbutz Ma'agan Michael on the shores of the Mediterranean near Zichron Yaakov. In 1987, the Ayalon Institute was declared a National Historic Site, and the museum was open to the public. Today, you can only visit the Ayalon Institute by appointment by calling them at 08-940-6552. A tour guide will lead you to the underground manufacturing operations, where photographs and written explanations describe the displayed equipment. The tour also includes a visit to the reconstructed bakery and laundry and an audiovisual presentation. Directions to Rishon LeZion are as follows. From Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, merge into Route 4 from Route 1 and exit at the sign directing you to Rishon LeZion Center. Travel east over the viaduct following Jabotinsky Street until you reach light number 72. Turn left onto Rothschild Street, right into Herzl Street, and left into HaKarmel Street. After several blocks, turn left into Nordau Street, and then right into Rothschild Street once again, where you can look for street parking. Walk up the hill toward the synagogue. Directions to the Ayalon Institute are as follows. Return to Herzl Street and travel about 8 kilometers until the street name changes to Weitzman Street in the village of Nestsiona. Soon thereafter, at the group of large white buildings known as Science Park, turn left into Hamada Street. Proceed several blocks toward Chaim Holtzman Street and turn left up the hill. At the conclusion of your visit, return to Weitzman Street, which is now known as Herzl Street, and proceed south to Route 40, where you will turn left in the direction of Ramle and Route 1. Thanks so much for joining me today at Rishon LeZion and at the Ayalon Institute.